You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. A new memoir entitled Bag Daddy follows author and Idahoan Bill Riley's life from childhood to his time in the Middle East. Publishers Weekly says the book, quote, at turns grueling and entertaining, spans Riley's difficult childhood, unquote. This is where he suffered abuse by his mom to his early Air Force career in the Middle East. The book also focuses on his time in Kuwait before and during Operation Desert Fox, as he built a coalition command center and learned about Middle Eastern cultures. He relates his military experiences with wit and humor, and we should note that the book is approved by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and Bill is joining me live in studio to talk more. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jenna. It's good to be here.
So, first off, this is an incredibly personal book for you. This is about your life, as I said, particularly your childhood. Tell me about that time in your life, but also why you felt you needed to write this.
Well, I would start by saying that, you know, Bag Daddy is a war story that started when I was about 5 years old. My mother was schizophrenic, but at the time there weren't diagnoses for that. Mm-hmm. So what that meant was in the early part of my youth, she was beautiful, brilliant, a bright light. She lived in a fantasy world. She told amazing stories. And to be honest, that's probably where I get storytelling ability. But with the nature of these type of diseases and mental health things, she wound up diverging from what reality was and creating a world that was brutal and vicious for us. Mm-hmm. So the first part of this is about, you know, coming to terms with what is the world, what's reality, and some of the challenges that happened as a result of that. You know, things that me and the sibling that I had, I was fortunate that I had a sister who was able to tend my wounds, and she was better at navigating my mother's anger than I ever was. And she helped, we were partners in crime, she helped me until I was able to stand up for myself, and then for mm-hmm. some time afterwards, and until I was finally able to move on into the military phase of the story.
So you go into the military after high school. You end up going to the Middle East, into war zones. There seems that there would almost be, as you said, like your war started, though, as a child, and it continues. And does this play out in the book in that sense?
It absolutely does. It's you know, one of the things is the cover. The cover shows a child soldier, and that's kind of polarizing. But I wanted people to know that when they picked it up, that there was gritty, but there was something that it was leading to. And this is a story about lessons that I learned as a child through surviving certain aspects of adversity, and how those lessons came to play later on in life. You're a parent, right?
Oh, I am. I've got two boys.
And, you know, there are times, and I think every parent can relate to, is that when your child, you swear, I am never going to say that. I am never going to
Then it comes out of your mouth.
And then it comes out. And part of the reason is because we carry these messages around. Mm. It's how we learn. We don't realize it's there. In the case, my father was, ironically enough, he worked a lot of jobs after he came out of the military. He really wanted to provide the best home for us, the best life that he could. But he was gone so much that he wasn't initially aware of what my mother was.
Well, if you're not present, it's hard to see that.
And then he had a code of conduct that was pretty difficult for a little kid to live up to, and even as a teenager. And, you know, I wasn't able to meet his standards on a lot of things, and that just made things harder. So he looked at the environment as a crucible to learn, a way to toughen me up, a way to give me the skills that for later I would need. And for him, it was about PTSD. It was about, he came back from Vietnam, and people didn't greet Vietnam soldiers the way they did the greeting I got when I got back from Kuwait or Iraq. They were very friendly when I came back. They threw stuff at him, and they were horrible. And PTSD was something that you just didn't talk about.
Well, no, we never talked about it. So when you go into the military, and you talk about this in the book, you go into basically intelligence, national security. Why? Why that aspect of the military?
Well, this is a funny story. I didn't intend to do that. I knew I had to go into the military. It was a good way to get away from home, like most kids. It gave me options that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So I went in open general, which is kind of like the way that your recruiter Jedi mind tricks you. He said, okay, you can. My father, he ran mental institutions, ironically enough. So he wanted me to go into something medical. There were none available. The recruiter assured us that as soon as we went in, it would be able to all work out. And that didn't happen. But what happened for me is I had a they were changing the program for the Air Force, and they were starting to do a special operations preliminary qualifications course. And I didn't want anything to do with that. I was having enough trouble. I said, you know, my whole marching orders for basic training were don't screw up. It was really.
So you end up in intelligence. So don't screw up, and this is what happens.
There's a tie. So we go through this thing, and you know, so my drill sergeant is like, well, you know, I need five guys to do this, and he explains what it is. And you would think that everyone was all over this. You get to have a chance of being in special ops.
Kind of like a spy.
Yeah, well, kind of. It starts out that, you know, you have to have the physical skills. You have to have the aptitude. There are certain personality types. And it's just, this wasn't even together, and this was just a feeder pool to say, okay, these guys have the very minimum basic abilities to be able to put this together. So four guys, yes, sergeant, I want to do this. And then he looks at me and he goes, Riley, you're in on this too. You're number five. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, well, great. And so, but I said, yes, Sergeant. And we marched out. And I said, they're going to figure out very soon that I do not have the aptitude for this. I'm not interested in this. But I was a swimmer in high school. So physically I was able to do it. I competed fairly well. I threw discus and shot put. Mm-hmm. And so I had the preliminaries. But what I found going through this, and we started out with hundreds of people in this course, and they would leave it down. First, it's run around the base and find me this, because everything was designed to take problem solving or to figure out something regardless of where it was. Mm-hmm. So you'd run around, you'd find something, you'd bring it back. And that was a big part of it. The other part of it was figuring out who you were and being able to articulate yourself. So here we are, a bunch of guys that want to be special operators, and they're all hoo-ah, and I want to do this, I want to save the world. And we're writing essays and poems in this class to kind of express who we are and where we want to be. And part of it is just to mess with your head, but the the other part of it is to kind of see if there's a mental toughness that you can adapt,
gotcha.
That you have a degree of agility.
So you end up doing this for the majority of your military career.
Yes and no. I wound up at the end successfully after I thought I blew my final exam for this special operations course. We had swim from one end of the pool to the back, underwater, in one breath, go down, clear a mask, put it on, and come back. And if you surface, you fail. So no big deal. I'd swam. I'd done this there like three times.
I like how you say no big deal. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. Okay.
Well, I couldn't do it now. This is sometime. This was old me. New me likes to eat at Fork and some of the places.
Yeah,
downtown,
there you go.
So, which is delicious. But so we go there, and I grab the mask, I clear it, I put it on, and all of a sudden these sticks come at me, and one knocks me in the head, the other knocks the mask away. And I'm like, oh, I can't do this, and I'm out of air. I'm at the end. So I grab the mask, I try to do it one more time, I got enough time to clear it, and now two sticks come at me, and I push off against the wall, I grab the sticks, and one stick comes free in my hand, the other, there's kind of a commotion, but I got to get to the end of the pool. And I finally get to the end. I'm seeing red and black flashes. And I take that first cleansing breath to go, I'm alive.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this hand reaches down that's about the size of a ham, and it pulls me out of the water by my head. And I look, and there's a really pissed off NCO that's about the size of a professional wrestler, soaking wet. So I thought, okay, I wonder if they're going to let me finish basic training. But that was the final exam, and the end of it, I was one of the people that passed it, which was awesome. But there were a couple of guys there that really all they wanted to be is special ops for the whole time that they'd grown up, their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in military tradition, three fighting for two slots. So I got the slot, and these guys wanted it, but I didn't. So in the end, I had to explain to a commanding officer. I declined being considered for special operations. I said, these guys want it. I don't.
And they said, too bad.
And they yelled at me for a long time. You know, and that's how we communicate.
Yeah. And I have to wrap you up, Bill. But I want to thank you for coming in today. And your new memoir is Bagdaddy. You're going to be at Barnes & Noble on May 19th doing a reading in Boise, correct? If people want to come out and see you there and get the book. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I want to thank all of you for listening today. My producers are Samantha Wright and Richard Copeland. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.